We are exactly 3 weeks away from the first round of the 2013 NFL Draft, so let's try and learn a little bit more. Bring in one of the best, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network and NFL.com. You can see him on Path to the Draft weeknights at 6 p.m., and you got to follow him on Twitter, at MoveTheSticks. Daniel, appreciate the time. As always, great to catch up with you once again. Your latest mock draft, which I know is a couple of weeks old, I believe it was Chance Warmack, the guard from Alabama at number 12 for the Dolphins, as we now cut in on the three-week mark before the start of this thing. You still like Warmack at number 12, or what are you thinking there?
Well, I think they're, you know, I've been kind of saying the same thing on our show every day. When you look at the Dolphins, you look at their ammunition with picks, and you look at them having a hole at tackle. To me, I don't think Lane Johnson, the third tackle, you know, if it's Eric Fisher, Lane Johnson, however that falls, I don't think one of those three guys is going to be there at 12. So to me, it just makes all the sense in the world for a team that's kind of gone all in during the offseason for them to be aggressive once again and go up and get one of those tackles.
I think you just said one of the key things here as we discussed the draft strategy for the Dolphins. More and more people are saying it, that none of those three tackles are going to be there at number 12. You tweeted something earlier this week which I found fascinating and important for people to think about, which was that you see immediate starters in the second round of this draft at wide receiver, cornerback, linebacker, defensive tackle, and tight end. And obviously for Dolphin fans, that knowledge, that understanding is hugely important when you're discussing what to do at number 12, because there are guys there in the second round you think that can come in and start.
Yeah, I think so. And you look at, you know, adding a corner. You want to add a corner, to me, I think just wait. You wait in that second round. There's plenty of guys. You get a Bleedy Ray Wilson from Connecticut. I think DeMarc Taylor, you have a chance of maybe getting him from Boise State. I mean, there is a lot of depth to the position. You got McFadden from San Diego State. I mean, there's a ton of guys. So at that position, I think you can wait. Tight end, you know, we have kind of two tight ends that carry first-round grades for me, and Ertz from Stanford, Eifert from Notre Dame, but there's another five or six guys that are capable of stepping in and playing right away. Guys like Jordan Reed from Florida can come in and help out right away. You look at Escobar from San Diego State. We look at Kelsey from Cincinnati. So there's a lot of positions like that where there's value in that second, third round area. So it allows you to be a little more flexible. You know, the one thing is, and you're talking about guys that can come in and start at left tackle or even right tackle right now, I think you've got a little bit smaller pool of those players, and those tend to go pretty quick.
Daniel, do you still feel the same way about the wide receiver position maybe in the second, in the third round of the draft? Because the Dolphins have really gone out and filled that void that they've had last year with Mike Wallace and at the tight end position with Dustin Keller. But there's still some guys at the wide receiver position that you can go out at, a Quentin Patton, a DeAndre Hopkins, somebody of that ilk that could come in the second and third round and actually make an impact for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. And to me, just look at the Green Bay Packers. I mean, when they took Randall Cobb, I mean, they had three or four solid receivers already on campus. But I don't think they're regretting that move at this point in time. So even though you've made some upgrades to the position, I think when you just have a value on a player at that point in time and say he's too good to pass up, we'll find a way to use him. I think that's what we'll see the Dolphins do as well.
As we talk about wide receivers, and we're visiting with Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, NFL.com, I keep waiting for somebody to talk me out of Tavon Austin at number 12. And I guess my reasoning is everybody says he's going to score a bunch of touchdowns, he's dynamic, he can do all of these different things. So unless you're a team that has a million holes and you're not ready to maybe take advantage of a guy like that, how do you pass on Tavon Austin?
Well, it's a great question. I definitely would not criticize the move if they took him. I'm a huge fan. I just look, when you look at the roster, to me, at the end of the day, it's about building your team around your quarterback. I think you got the right quarterback right now in Ryan Tannehill. It's about surrounding him with weapons. Now, do I feel comfortable with Will Yeatman protecting my franchise quarterback in the long term? No. And I don't know that I'm necessarily 100% confident in Jonathan Martin right now either. So from that standpoint, if you can be aggressive and go get one of the tackles, I think it probably makes more sense. But if those guys are gone, hey, I got no problem with Tavon Austin. I was talking to a team today, and he just said, you know, look, this is the AFC team, and just said, hey, I'm praying that there's no way possible this kid lands in New England, or he's going to catch 150 passes in that offense.
Do you think it's worth trading up for a guy like Lane Johnson? I mean, we talk about the tackles all likely being gone, and I don't think anybody thinks Jokel and Fisher are necessarily realistic for Miami to move up to get. But what about Lane Johnson? Is he that good?
I think so. I think he's got the most upside of any offensive lineman in the entire draft, and I think he's pretty darn good right now. I think you're splitting hairs when you're comparing him to those other guys. I can find things that Lane Johnson can do that those other two guys can't do. Those other guys have a little more experience playing the position. That's their advantage. But Lane has learned very quickly. He dominated at the Senior Bowl. And as much attention as Eric Fisher got for the way he played down in Mobile, he was really good. If you go back and study the one-on-ones, Lane Johnson pitched a shutout. I mean, nobody got a sniff on him. And you can find a couple. There's two or three plays where you see Fisher get beat, get blown back a little bit. So to me, I think you're splitting hairs with those three tackles. I'd be elated to get a guy like Lane Johnson if I were the Dolphins.
Daniel, you know, General Manager Jeff Ireland's talked a lot about in the offseason about playmakers, not only on the offensive side of the football, but on the defensive side of the football. Is there anybody in that second round, possibly the third round, because the Dolphins right now hold four picks. They have five out of the first 82. Looking for at playmakers, they've already got Brent Grimes from Atlanta in free agency to maybe solidify or challenge for one side of that cornerback position. But is there a David Amerson? Is there a guy that, you know, a Logan Ryan? Is there another guy out there, possibly even Tyrann Mathieu, that could be a playmaker that could come in and maybe impact the secondary in that maybe second to third round range?
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you can get some comfort with Mathieu off the field, then third round is kind of my sweet spot for him. And that's somebody that you talk about playmaker. He's, you know, like, what, 11 forced fumbles during his time down there. I mean, he gets the ball away from people. He can go get it with his hands. He can rip it out of your hands. He can help you return kicks, do all that stuff. So playmaker-wise, he's right there. I put him at the third round. But to me, look at a safety like Philip Thomas from Fresno. That's somebody that gets his hands on a lot of football. So he's somebody else you're going to see probably go in the middle of the second round. And I think at the end of the day, it's about one thing. It's about creating turnovers on defense. The way the NFL is set up right now, it's an offensive game. You're not going to be able to stop people consistently. You got to find a way to get a couple turnovers and give your own offense a couple extra possessions, and those are two guys that do that.
It's definitely been an area of deficiency for the Dolphins the last couple of years as well. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, NFL.com. He's on Twitter, at MoveTheSticks. You can see him on NFL.com Live, Mock Draft Weekly, Fridays at 1 p.m. on NFL.com. We got into a big debate on the show yesterday, or a big conversation at least, about Eddie Lacy. And as you know, we sort of start to see running backs become less and less valuable early on in the draft. He's a name that a lot of people know. He obviously looked great in the BCS championship game down here at Sun Life Stadium, so he's in the minds of a lot of people here. Where do you think is kind of a fair place for Lacy to be drafted this year?
Well, you know, I like him. He's my top rated running back. You know, he's got a lot of ability. I don't think he has the same top speed that Trent Richardson had playing in the same offense. But to me, somebody in the late first round, early second round is kind of where I have him. He's a really good player. Durability to me is a little bit of a concern. There's not a big track record there for that. So the other thing is, the one little negative I'd say is, you look at that Alabama offensive line that we all praise so much. This is the greatest offensive line that's ever played in college football. And, you know, Lacy had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 100-yard games out of 12. So, to me, if you're playing behind the greatest offensive line in history, you'd like to have maybe a little bit more production than that. So, there's a little bit of a concern there, but when you put on the tape, he's powerful, he's strong, he's got a little more wiggle than you think. Just doesn't have that pure top speed, so that's where I kind of put him, bottom of the first, top of the second.
Really good stuff. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, NFL.com, on Twitter at MoveTheSticks. Certainly falls into one of those must-follow categories on Twitter. Daniel, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys, take care.